BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at bcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. I'm speaking to you from Trail Ridge Camp as we're winding up our final full day at camp here for youth camp. And what a joy it's been to speak twice daily here to the young people during the chapel sessions. And we'll be getting underway for that final chapel session here this evening. As we speak, though, there is so much taking place around this country and around the world that we do want to bring to your attention, things to keep you informed on the critical issues of our times, to be understanding of the times in which we live, the urgency. And friends, as we see things taking place, many have wondered, I've been receiving emails, how long before the Lord returns? Well, we don't know the day or the hour, but we do know that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's only of his mercy that things continue on. And friends, certainly be light. Share the gospel with others. Be salt. Have that impact upon that preservative impact around others as well. We're going to delve into a number of issues. Just a couple days ago, we did a special program on this White House plan to come forth, this door-to-door situation here on COVID-19 and the door-to-door vaccinations. Well, guess what? There's evidently been some backlash over this, and the Biden administration is planning to go door-to-door for this COVID shot. In the aftermath, the White House press secretary Jen Psaki said this: the federal government does not have a database of who has been vaccinated. That's not our role. She told reporters in Washington, we don't maintain a database among those lines, and we have no plans to, she said. These are grassroots voices across the country, she said. These are not members of the government. They are not federal government employees. They are volunteers. They are clergy. They are trusted voices and communities who are playing this role in door-to-door knocking, she said. Now, let me just say this. Isn't that what Margaret Sanger did? We have to get the clergy on board for this population reduction, get the clergy on board to promote abortion, you know, to show how safe and friendly we are. They are trusted people. We need the clergy. Well, guess what? The clergy are being employed once again for this task. They are trusted voices in communities who are playing this role in door knocking, she said. So in our view, this is a way to engage and empower local activists, trusted members of the community. Local activists, trusted members of the community. Now, the Health and Human Services Secretary, Javier Becerra, told CNN on Thursday morning, this backlash that's coming. He says, yes, it's our business. Yes, it is our business. He said, perhaps we should point out that the federal government has spent trillions of dollars to keep Americans alive during this pandemic. So it is absolutely the government's business. It is taxpayers' business if we have to continue to spend money to try and keep people from contracting COVID and helping reopen the economy. And so it is our business to try to make sure Americans can prosper, Americans can freely associate, and knocking on a door has never been against the law. He went on to say, you don't have to answer, but we hope you do, because if you haven't been vaccinated, we can help dispel some of those rumors that you've heard and hopefully get you vaccinated. Well, that is a story that was on CNSNews.com. LifeSiteNews.com also tell us that President Biden's plan to go door-to-door, urging remaining Americans to take the experimental COVID-19 shot has generated massive backlash, including from some U.S. lawmakers. I mean, Republican Anthony Sabatini of Florida's House of Representatives suggested government door knockers ought to be arrested, calling the initiative sick and urging legislation to ban the effort, saying any federal government employee that goes door to door pushing vaccination should be treated as a trespasser and arrested. Yeah, that was a tweet sent out by Sabatini. We need to pass legislation to ban this sick practice immediately, he added. Nothing that is currently looking at, noting that he is currently looking at legislative options to fill the legislative year in the Florida legislature. He told Breitbart News that he would support a blanket prohibition against door-to-door government solicitation of vaccines in the Florida legislature, classifying the practice as trespassing. Well, here's another story coming to us indicating that the CDC is urging school districts to fully reopen in the fall without mandatory COVID vaccines of all students and staff. Teachers and students who are fully vaccinated against COVID are not recommended to wear a mask, but those who are unvaccinated, including children under the age of 12, for whom a vaccine has not yet been approved, should continue to wear a mask, according to the new CDC guidelines. Additionally, while schools should institute mitigation measures, such as social distancing of 3 feet between students, schools should still reopen if some mitigation measures are not feasible, says the CDC. Now, Pfizer is coming out here about to seek U.S. authorization for a third dose of the COVID-19 shot, saying yesterday that another shot within 12 months could dramatically boost immunity and maybe help ward off the latest worrisome COVID mutant. Research from multiple countries shows that Pfizer shot and other widely used COVID-19 vaccines offer strong protection against the highly contagious Delta variant, they report, which is spreading rapidly around the world and now accounts for most new U.S. infections. So they're Pfizer planning to seek okay for a third vaccine dose. But the Washington Examiner says that individuals who are fully vaccinated against COVID-19 do not need a booster shot at this time, federal health authorities said yesterday. Well, Japan has put together, well, they've declared a state of emergency there, and executives in the Tokyo Olympics have now banned spectators from attending the event after this declared state of emergency due to COVID concerns. The games are to begin on July 23rd. You know what vaccinations are taking place? Yeah, San Francisco Bay Area Zoo is inoculating its big cats and bears and ferrets against COVID as part of a national effort to protect animal species using this experimental vaccine, reports the Associated Press. Alex Herman, Vice President of Veterinary Services at the zoo, said none of the animals has gotten the virus, but the zoo wanted to be proactive. Tigers, bears, both grizzly and black bears, mountain lions and ferrets were the first to receive the first two doses. Next are primates and then pigs. LifeSiteNews.com, of the 700 physicians responding to an internet survey by the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, nearly 60% of the 700 physicians said that they were not fully vaccinated against COVID-19. The analysis contrasts with the claim by the AMA, the American Medical Association. They said that 96% of practicing physicians are fully vaccinated. That was based on 300 respondents. Neither survey represents a random sample of all American physicians, but AAPS survey shows that physician support for the mass injection campaign is far from unanimous. The AAPS survey showed that 54% of physician respondents were aware of patients suffering a significant adverse reaction. Of the unvaccinated physicians, 80% said, "I believe a risk of shots exceeds the risk of disease." 30% said, quote, "I already had COVID." Other reasons for declining the shot by doctors included unknown long-term effects, use of aborted fetal tissue, some saying, quote, "It's experimental," and availability of effective early treatment and reports of deaths and blood clots. So, interesting survey by the American, or the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. Nearly 60% said that they were not fully vaccinated against COVID-19. From the New American, the U.S. military is preparing to mandate COVID-19 vaccines for all personnel as soon as September 1st, according to a report in the Army Times. The mandate for service members to receive the shot is dependent upon the experimental vaccines receiving full approval by the FDA, which is expected, they report, in September. Interesting indeed. The possible mandate for service members to receive the experimental vaccines comes just 3 days after a JAMA Network cardiology study showed that 23 male service members, 22 of them that were previously healthy, were diagnosed with myocarditis and inflammation of the heart within days of receiving the second dose of a vaccine with mRNA technology. The study comes on the heels of an Israeli study suggesting a probable link between receiving the second dose of the Pfizer vaccine and the appearance of myocarditis among men ages 16 to 30. From WND.com, Science, the headline says this, science does not support masks for children. Mask mandates imposed for the COVID pandemic could be hurting kids and the vaccines could be killing them, according to a new Just the News report that cites several medical journals and studies. Measured carbon dioxide content in inhaled air observed in a study of mass German school children was at least threefold higher than German law allows, according to a research letter published this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association's Pediatrics. And then last week, the journal Vaccines, affiliated with the American Society for Virology, published research that estimates every three COVID-19 deaths prevented by vaccination are offset by two deaths inflicted by vaccination using Israeli and European data. Masks and vaccines and lockdowns have been among Americans' main responses to the virus that likely originated in a Chinese lab in Wuhan that works with the Chinese Communist Party's military. Those defense strategies were adopted over treatments with ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine that some studies have suggested are effective against the virus. Most of the children who reported cases of irritability, headache, and reluctance to go to school that came from a German register of problems can be understood as consequences of elevated carbon dioxide levels in inhaled air. That's the JAMA Pediatrics paper. By the way, Anthony Fauci being honored by the American Humanist Association, he is receiving the American Humanist Award, saying, quote, "We are honored that Dr. Fauci will receive our highest award at AHA's 80th annual conference." That was stated by the executive director, Roy Spechthart, of the American Humanist Association. The American Humanist Association announced Dr. Fauci will be the recipient of their 2021 Humanist of the Year Award. They announced this news in a press release July 1st with the organization's director, saying, "We are honored that Dr. Fauci will receive our highest award at the 80th Annual Conference. His unwavering commitment to accessible, evidence-based information and his robust communication to people about public health issues is commendable and necessary, especially in this critical time," end of quote. The AHA described Fauci as globally respected for his efforts to address COVID-19, referencing what they described as his push for evidence-based solutions and emphasis on the importance of science and reason, which was a guiding light in difficult times. End of quote. That's from LifeSiteNews.com. Washington Free Beacon. Michigan's top government oversight officials investigating the number of residents who died from COVID-19 in nursing homes as a result of a controversial public health policy mandated by Governor Gretchen Whitmer. Michigan Auditor General Doug Ringler announced the audit last week following the legislative hearings that questioned the accuracy of state data on COVID-19 related deaths in long-term care facilities. Republicans have argued Whitmer's administration undercounted deaths after the governor allowed COVID-infected seniors to return to nursing homes for treatment. The state health director has disputed those claims, saying the data are self-reported by facilities. Interesting story coming here forth from Bill and Melinda Gates and their foundation pushing for population control once again. I'm going to share more on that story after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, as a scientist, is it legitimate to use Scripture in your creation teaching?
Yes, indeed, Chris. In fact, I think it's illegitimate not to. There are times, of course, when a scientific answer is needed. In some of our creation evolution debates on university campuses, we try to limit the arguments to the scientific evidences only. But we never try to hide the fact that we're Bible-believing Christians and are coming at this from a biblical perspective. There is no intent to deceive. Often people who attend these debates have their eyes open to the truth of creation and then are more ready to accept a later witness from Scripture. But keep in mind that Scripture is alive and powerful and able to do mighty things. If we would truly win the argument, we must go back to Genesis without apology as our basis for creation.
For more on the importance of creation, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We've got a news roundup day here today. The program originating from Trail Ridge Camp just outside of Hillsboro, Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today. As we are reporting news from around the world, and friends, it's like we could have a news roundup every day. There is so much that's taking place on a daily basis, and so we have had a number of emails coming from individuals about the San Francisco Gay Men's Course and the song, "We're Coming After Your Children." We'll be, Lord willing, addressing that issue next week here on Crosstalk, and trust you'll stay tuned every single day. But friends, as we were going into the break, we were telling you about the Gates Foundation. Bill and Melinda Gates have been huge proponents of population control. They have been huge proponents of vaccinations. And they have been talking about vaccinations. We need vaccinations for population control reasons. Now, try to put that together. Doesn't that sound like an oxymoron right there? A paradox? Here we have from LifeNews.com, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is planning to spend another $1.4 billion over the next 5 years to prevent families from having children. The Gates Philanthropy Organization has been a huge supporter of contraception and abortion for decades, sending millions of dollars to pro-abortion groups like Planned Parenthood, the Population Control, and MSI Reproductive Choices. Well, last week it announced plans to spend another $1.4 billion through 2026 on promoting family planning across the world. That Catholic News Agency reported that. The $1.4 billion would be spent to increase access to contraception and support a network of family planning partners, such as UNFPA, Supplies Partnership, Family Planning 2030. Now, that 2030 number is interesting, isn't it? Because that's what Agenda 2030 is. Agenda 2030. Family Planning 2030. It's all linked together. The Global Financing Facility and the New Shaping Equitable Market Access at SEMA Reproductive Health Initiative. So friends, think about the interest that the Gates have in vaccinations, as well as they're spending an additional $1.4 billion pushing population control. Is there a link? I'll let you be the judge. LifeNews.com, chemical abortions via the abortion pill are increasing rapidly in the United States. Among the states that have released chemical abortion data for 2019, chemical abortions jumped almost 12% from 2018. Now, friends, we don't know what the statistics are from 2020 yet, but as chemical abortions in the U.S. increase, complications will likely also increase as well. But abortion complication data in the U.S. is rather spotty, you see, because since 2016, the FDA no longer requires distributors of mifepristone to report any adverse events other than death. Just over half the states collect information from abortion providers on complications resulting from abortion, and only a quarter of all the states require other healthcare providers to report abortion complications that they treat. Of these states, enforcing their reporting requirements to varying extents, and many complications are never reported. So that's why you don't hear about them, folks, because they don't require the data, don't require it. And haven't we seen that so many times happen within the past 18 months as well on other issues? Another story to turn your stomach from LifeNews.com, the University of California, San Francisco, it's a hub for all things abortion in the U.S., is harvesting aborted babies' genitals and other organs for research, according to documents obtained by pro-life advocates, reports LifeNews.com. The Daily Wire reports Pro-Life San Francisco made the gruesome discovery in documents that it requested through the California Public Records Act. UC San Francisco is a public taxpayer-funded university. The dates in the university documents also suggest the harvesting of aborted baby body parts continued during the COVID-19 pandemic, while many other businesses, schools, houses of worship, and other entities were shut down in California, according to Live Action. But no. You know what we have to do? Essential business is to harvest these baby body parts, folks. Pro-Life San Francisco described UC San Francisco as the late-term abortion training's capital of the United States, running more than 100 abortion training programs across the country, including training on how to abort viable late-term unborn babies after 21 weeks of pregnancy, according to the organization. It's sick, folks. God hates the hands that shed innocent blood, is what Scripture tells us. Well, there's turmoil going on in Haiti. Haitian police said they have killed four suspects and detained two others late Wednesday amid an ongoing manhunt for a group of mercenaries involved in the brazen assassination of their president, Morsi, which was also left his wife critically wounded. The uncertain security situation in Haiti was matched by an equally chaotic political standoff. The interim prime minister, Claude Joseph, declared a state of siege, which is akin to martial law, and said he was in charge of the country even as his claim to power came into question. Be praying for Haiti. There's turmoil in the nation. And friends, to add to your prayer list, two United States missionaries were killed in Haiti when their small plane that they were in crashed. This is Trent Hostetler and John Miller, who are based in Haiti with Christian Mission Gospel to Haiti, took a separate flight to that of their families, given them there was not enough room on the plane, and most of their team had been flown to the mountains. The last load took off shortly after 6 p.m., carrying six passengers, including Trent and John. Last known communication to headquarters was a distress signal. Hours later, the plane was found having crashed with no survivors. John Miller is from Wisconsin. Also flew from them to spend some time in Haiti as an evangelist for a mobile clinic in the area. Please, please pray for these missionary families who are grieving at this time. From Newsmax.com, President Biden yesterday said U.S. military mission in Afghanistan will conclude August 31st, saying speed is safety as the U.S. seeks to end its nearly a 20-year war, saying, quote, we did not go to Afghanistan to nation build. Afghan leaders have to come together and drive toward a future. He amplified the justification of his decision to end U.S. military operations, even as the Taliban made rapid advances in significant swaths of the country. Interesting story from Associated Press. The U.S. left Afghan's Bagram Field, the airfield, after nearly 20 years by shutting off the electricity and slipping away in the night without notifying the base's new Afghan commander, who discovered that the Americans had departed more than 2 hours after they left, Afghan military officials said. The U.S. announced it had completely vacated its biggest airfield in the country in advance of a final withdrawal the Pentagon says would be completed by the end of August. And I find it interesting here that they had a massive display, a facility that was on display. Afghan military officials said that the U.S. left behind some 3.5 million items, all itemized by the departing U.S. military. Oh, there are tens of thousands of bottles of water and energy drinks and MREs. That was the ready-made meals. But big-ticket items left behind include thousands of civilian vehicles, many of them without keys to start them, and hundreds of armored vehicles. Official also said the U.S. also left behind small weapons and the ammunition for them, but the departing troops took heavy weapons with them. Ammunition for weapons not being left behind for the Afghan military was blown up before they left. The Hill is reporting that Tajikistan President Ramon has mobilized some 20,000 military reservists to help bolster the border with Afghanistan. This comes after more than 1,000 members of the Afghan security force have fled to the country due to advances by the Taliban. According to a statement by Russians, Putin told Ramon he will support Tajikistan if needed to stabilize the border. Continued heartache happens at the Surfside condo out of Miami area as workers continue to dig through the rubble, now without hope of finding any survivors, more bodies being found. My last update here, the death toll was somewhere about 64 individuals. Washington Free Beacon reporting a coalition of 21 red state attorney generals sent a letter to President Biden Wednesday opposing a new regulatory guidance on pronoun preferences and sex-separate bathrooms and locker rooms. The Education Department and the EEOC in June issued an informal guidance document on the Supreme Court's landmark gay rights decision in Bostock versus Clayton County. Many schools and employers will choose to comply even though those directives do not have the force of law, prompting critics to charge the administration with social engineering through regulatory minutiae. Federal agencies do not have the authority to unilaterally change laws. That is the exclusive prerogative of Congress, said Tennessee Attorney General Herbert Slattery, who led the Red State Coalition. Actions like these exclude the voices, votes, and participation of the people and their representatives, which is neither right nor constitutional. And folks, it's happening right in one of our VCY America listening areas, Pella, Iowa. I mean, I saw that the headline coming from Faith Wire about a biological woman claiming to be male going topless in an Iowa aquatic center. It's a public pool. It's a complex in the small city southeast of Des Moines, Iowa, and reportedly allowed a teenage biological female who identifies now as male to walk around without being covered on top. The incident took place, according to the Iowa Standard, June 16th. An assistant manager for the center told the local outlet that patrons are free to wear clothing that aligns with their chosen gender and sexual identities. One resident in Pella, Iowa, where the pool is located, said that when the issue was raised, facility staffers said there was nothing that they could do. They said state law protects this biological female, allowing her to walk around indecently exposing herself to all the families enjoying the facility. The facility is afraid if they act and require her to cover herself that they will face a legal backlash. Folks, what have we come to as a nation? We just did this program. Have we been given over? And folks, we're seeing it right here before our very eyes. The person also added their concerns. A resident, I find it appalling that this would actually be state law. If someone were to take a picture, it wouldn't be viewed as some boy at the pool in the swim shorts. It would be a topless photo of a biological female, and it would be child pornography. This comes just days after a woman at a spa in Los Angeles complained to staffers when a biological male who identifies as a female, despite having male anatomy, biologically male, entered a female-only changing area completely unclothed. And folks, this is happening all over the country. We've lost our senses. We've lost our common sense in all of this. We've lost our morality. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That's what Scripture says. Faithwire.com also telling us a great deal has changed since pre-pandemic life. Among those changes is students' access to condoms, which will apparently begin in fifth grade. When schools reopen in August, Chicago elementary schools will be stocked with condoms accessible to fifth graders as part of a new policy approved by the Board of Education in Chicago Public Schools, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, which described the move as part of an expanded vision of sexual health education. Also putting in feminine products in the boys' restroom as well. Interesting story from WND.com. The IRS has backtracked on their claims that a Texas organization was not qualified for a tax-exempt status because the Christian ideas it pursues are associated, they said, with the Republican Party. The dispute involved a group called Christians Engaged, and they had first denied its application for tax-exempt status, which was routinely given to charitable, religious, education, or scientific organizations, because he claimed it engages in political campaign intervention and that it operates as a substantial, non-exempt private purpose and for the private interest of the Republican Party. Well, backlash happened there. First Liberty got involved, and the IRS has overturned the decision. A few more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Universally, man's most basic need is the gospel. It is the gospel that has the power to save. But despite this good news, there are many who resist this compelling message. In the book, I Have Some Good News, authors Preston and Kelly Condra present the gospel and answer close to 50 objections people have raised. Like, there is too much suffering and evil in the world. I reject a God who allows it. Or, God is love, and a loving God would not send anyone to hell. Or, what about all the good things I have done? I think my good deeds will outweigh my bad. The Condras use Scripture to address objections such as these. This book is ideal to give to someone who does not know Jesus. I Have Some Good News. It's available for a donation of $14, 3 copies for $32, or 5 for a donation of $44. Call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and it's a news roundup day here today. Our thanks to Sandy for compiling so many stories here, gathering through the course of the week. And we're sharing with you just a portion of them, friends, just a portion. And much taking place across our nation. Again, the urgency to be understanding of the times, to understand that we have that responsibility of being light in this dark world. We are the salt of the earth, but if we've lost our saltiness, you know what? Scripture says we're good for nothing, but to be just, you know, cast out there and trampled underfoot of men. Let's be salt. Let's be light in this time in which we live. We are finding that we are increasingly becoming like the days of Lot, increasingly becoming like the days of Noah, where man did that which was continuously evil. That's how Scripture defines it, as man doing that which was continuously evil. Folks, let's go to a story that's been appearing in newspapers across the country and articles. This one came from Newsmax about a very violent 4th of July weekend. So at least 118 people shot in Chicago and New York City combined. I mean, 92 in Chicago, including at least 16 fatalities, the most violent weekend of the year so far, Chicago Sun-Times reported. New York, 26 people shot, including two fatalities. Newsmax also tells us former President Trump has announced class action lawsuits against tech giants Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube, parent company Google, over their unlawful censorship of him and other conservatives after the social media giants banned him from posting in the wake of the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. We're demanding an end to the shadow banning, a stop to the silencing, and a stop to the blacklisting, banishing, and canceling that you know so well, Trump said during an appearance at his golf resort in Bedminster, New Jersey, Wednesday morning. He said, "We will prove that the censorship is unlawful, it's unconstitutional, and it's completely un-American." Western Journal reporting that the Biden administration's conservation plan is raising serious concerns that the federal government really just wants to control more land nationwide. The plan vaguely outlines a goal to conserve 30%. They want to conserve, and I put conserve in quotes as the story does, conserve 30% of land in the United States by, oh, here it comes again, 2030, to combat the so-called climate crisis. President Biden issued an executive order entitled Tackling the Climate Crisis at Home and Abroad. Epoch Times reported that on page 9 of the order, federal agencies are directed to submit a report on strategies that will encourage broad participation in the goal of conserving 30% of our lands and waters by 2030. Don't tell me there's no connection to Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 in that executive order. I just want to also comment on a matter going on here with China as well. China... Daily Wire telling us of a three-stage battle plan now for Taiwan, an invasion of Taiwan. President Xi is calling for complete reunification. A state-controlled Chinese magazine published a three-stage plan demonstrating the Chinese invasion of Taiwan. The report comes after the Chinese President Xi Jinping pledged complete reunification with Taiwan as he marked the 100 years of the Chinese Communist Party. Stage one of this plan would involve the attack of key installations with short-range ballistic missiles used to attack airports, early warning radar, anti-air missile bases, and command centers. Stage two would involve various cruise missile strikes against other targets. Cruise missiles will be fired from both land and sea against military bases, ammunition depots, the communications infrastructure, and key road junctions. And then stage three would involve further bombardment from naval vessels to prepare for an amphibious beach landing of infantry and other military units. Now, the Japanese Deputy Prime Minister, Aso Taro, suggested on Monday that his country's defense forces might assist the U.S. in defending Taiwan in the event of a Chinese incursion, before seemingly tempering his remarks and calling for diplomatic efforts to de-escalate tensions in the Pacific. He described the ongoing dispute between China and Taiwan as becoming, quote, extremely intense, extremely intense. Now, this also, coming to us from WND.com, in April, the U.S. Navy Admiral Charles Richard, the commander of the U.S. Strategic Command, warned at a congressional panel that China's nuclear program was in the midst of a, quote, breathtaking expansion. I mean, he talked about the development of intercontinental ballistic missiles, the ICBMs, mobile missile launchers, and nuclear-capable submarines. The images depicted the construction over 100 new silos for these ICBMs in the desert outside the city of Yumen, which is northwest China. Jeffrey Lewis, who's part of the team that reviewed the satellite images, explained in a summary of his analysis, when added to similar construction projects, these silos would bring the total count to 145 across the Chinese mainland. He described the sheer scale of the construction projects as incredible, believes the silos are likely intended for a Chinese ICBM with capable of carrying multiple warheads and can strike targets as far as 9,300 miles away. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, that means they could potentially have the capacity to reach the U.S. mainland. Now, I want to couple one other story that I saw come through yesterday, July 8th, from Pamela Geller, as she posted on her site a story from Breitbart News. And the headline says, Communist China seizes control of Britain's largest microchip factory. You know about the microchip shortage that's happening all over. I mean, the backlog of computers, the backlog of automobilers. I was just at the dealership here getting some service work done last weekend, and the lot is empty. It is empty. Even the showroom didn't have any cars on the showroom floor. The salesperson said they was optimistic. I heard at one time by mid-July, and now they're saying by August that they should have their full slate of vehicles back again, but there's a chip shortage. And so this caught my attention today when Communist China is seizing control of Britain's largest microchip factory. A state-backed Communist Chinese firm has conducted a hostile takeover of the UK's largest microchip factory, raising concerns about Beijing's growing control of the market during a global chip shortage. On Monday, Dutch semiconductor manufacturer Nexperia, which is controlled by the China-owned electronics firm Wingtech, took 100% control of the Newport Wafer Fabs factory in South Wales after using a contractual clause to seize the company. In 2019, Nexperia signed a contract to support the factory in exchange for Newport Wafer Fab putting up its factory as collateral. Well, after the British company was unable to fulfill the manufacturing quota obligations in the deal, the Chinese-owned enterprise was able to take full control of the factory, the Telegraph reported. The Welsh firm, which produces silicon chips for the automotive industry and has been developing next-generation compound semiconductors, has been hard hit over the past year as the Chinese coronavirus crisis resulted in a global chip shortage. And guess what? China is just gaining control over the largest microchip factory in Britain. Prior to the Chinese takeover, Newport Wafer Fab had called on the British government to step in and prevent the sale and to help find alternative funding sources. Yet despite the concerns over national security, the Tory government did not intervene. The move is reminiscent of China's Belt and Road debt trap diplomacy, in which the communist nation offers predatory loans to developing nations throughout Asia, Africa, South America, and Eastern Europe for infrastructure projects, often built with Chinese labor and materials, and when the countries fail to repay the loans, the Communist Chinese Party seizes the assets. Friends, I've got more to share. I'd like to open some phone lines today, give you opportunity. I've had a number of stories. There's much going on this week. Give me your thoughts on the news here of the week. Our telephone number here is 800-733-9829. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, 800-733-9829 for Crosstalk today. As we bring much, can you imagine this? This microchip shortage taking place around the world, and now Communist China has just seized control of Britain's largest microchip factory? Isn't that interesting? Do we see that taking place? The matter of the land purchases that are taking place by China here in the U.S., the influence, the monies that have gone to universities across this nation, influenced by Chinese money, is it any wonder why there is such a Communist Party friendliness taking place by our university system across this land? I'd like to get your thoughts on these issues today on Crosstalk. Again, our number, 800-733-9829. We welcome your phone calls here today on Crosstalk. By the way, Governor Cuomo has declared a state of emergency as the state has seen a recent rise in gun violence. His executive action will include requiring police departments throughout the state to track and provide data on locations of shootings, determining where illegal guns are sold, barring those considered dangerous from possessing firearms, saying we went from COVID to the epidemic of gun violence and the fear and death that goes along with it, Cuomo said at a news conference on Tuesday. Interesting indeed as to where that's going to go in New York. Let's go to the phone lines here today. We've got line number one. Greg is calling in from Tucson, Arizona. Greg, thank you for calling Crosstalk. You're on the air.
Thank you very much for everything that you're doing. Can we just go back? I was visited yesterday in Tucson by one of those vaccine promoters, I guess. And to be honest with you, I answered the door. Because if it gives me an opportunity to share the gospel with someone who doesn't know Christ, mm-hmm. I'm glad to do that at any opportunity. But that's just me. And as it turned out, the young man was a Christian. And I asked if he was being paid because, you know, we're told that they have volunteers. Well, he gets paid commission. And actually, he allowed me to pray for his protection and just strengthen him in the Lord. He felt uplifted as he walked away. So that was just my take on it.
Mm. Well, Gregory, I appreciate you sharing that. What did he say what his commission is based on?
I would assume that if he could sign me up for a vaccine, you know, he would get, okay. I didn't ask what the percentage was, but I assume it's those who will, you know, fall in and sign up. As it turned out, he's a young man in, I'd say, early 20s.
Yeah.
And he wasn't vaccinated either. And I reminded him that we have God's divine favor and protection on the 91st Psalm. And he allowed me to pray that over him. Hmm. He felt uplifted by it.
Greg, thank you. Thank you for the report there. And we may be having another program on this, so we'll see how our schedule goes this next week. But thank you for that and for taking advantage of the moment to share the gospel, Greg. God bless you for that. Let's go to Carrie, who is calling next. Hi, Carrie, you are on the air.
Hi, I just want to thank you, Jim, for all your stories. And I want to comment quick that I just got mandated at work for the COVID shot. Hmm. Super scary. I'm in the healthcare field, and I have been able to dodge it until now. And now I am going to fill out a religious waiver. But very scary, considering I need the health insurance because my husband has kidney cancer. So. But also I want to comment that I do believe that we are definitely needing prayer as a country as far as the Chinese government and Russia coming after us, and these stories just prove it. So thanks for all the information, Jim. We just hold you up in prayer every day.
Amen. God bless you, Carrie. We appreciate your prayers. And friends, that really ought to burden our hearts as we see these things that are taking place around our nation and around the world, that it should burden our hearts to pray. Be praying for those who are in authority. Why? That we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We're back in 1 minute with more of your calls following the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. This morning, I received a text from the wife of a man that is on the verge of being promoted to captain in the United States Navy. Do you realize what an accomplishment that rank would be? He's worked his whole life to serve our nation and to keep his oath to the U.S. Constitution. And now he's being offered the promotion of captain in the United States military. But he is going to retire and walk away. Why? Because he cannot in good conscience serve and rule over men, and be forced to promote critical race theory. I received this text today from his wife, and I know both of them. It's heartbreaking to think of the men that have served in our military who should be constitutional leaders who are walking away because they do not want to run and be part of a military that forces Marxism on the troops. For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. And if you get any temporary cutouts or something, well, we're at remote studios coming to you from Trail Ridge Camp as we're ministering to young people this week here through chapel sessions. And keep us in prayer as these days of camp go on. Appreciate that very much. Lord willing, back in the studio on Monday. We're going right back to the phone lines, though, to hear from you across the nation. And the state of Arkansas is next. We have Alice calling in from Arkansas. Hi, Alice, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. So many things are in my mind. One is I'm blind, and so I can't read, but recently I have heard that in the days of Noah, it said man corrupted themselves and violence covered the earth. Mm-hmm. Look where we are today.
Yes.
I would say everybody that names the name of Christ, really make sure you look good to God. That's the only thing that really matters in our life, is that we make our con election sure. And when we know that we look good to God, then tell the story. Tell people Jesus has come to save them from an eternal hell, a lake of fire, and that by his righteousness within, we can live without sin. We can be an overcomer. We can be what God created us to be. Yeah. And we know that the Lord, he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yes,
today's world, the sinners have lost their minds and been given over to a reprobate mind. They would not receive a love for the truth. They would not receive my Lord, my precious Savior, as their Lord and Master. My greatest burden is that God will give me a burden that I might pray that effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man.
Availeth much. Alice, thank you so very much. I mean, you have great sight, Alice, a great sight, as you apply the principles of God's word in all of this. And those who are listening, and I know you are there, you're skeptics and you mock Christianity. They did the same thing during the time of Noah as well. But I tell you this, right now the door to the ark is open and you're welcome to come aboard. The gift of salvation is available for you, but there's coming a day in which that door is going to be closed. Take Jesus as your Savior today. Alice, we appreciate that great reminder. Let's go next to Mitchell, South Dakota. We have Phil calling in from Mitchell. Hi, Phil, you're on the air.
Yes, I was disturbed, very disturbed when I was watching Tucker Carlson Wednesday night. He was talking about the churches in Canada being burned by arsonists.
Yeah.
And he was saying that the leader of the British Columbia Civil Liberties Association said about the churches in British Columbia being burned, especially those that are ministering to Aboriginal people. She said, let them burn. Let them burn, and her board of directors endorsed her statement. And also, in those British Columbia church fires, two are now dead.
Yeah, it's terrible, Phil, and we see the number of church burnings that are taking place. You see a church, regardless of its denomination, but burning a church represents religion. It represents to many just Christianity. We have to get rid of it. You see, they continuously preach tolerance. Christians are intolerant, but yet we see how Christians are targeted. We see the symbol of Christianity as well. The church also is targeted on so many different fronts. Thank you, Phil, for raising that issue. We're going next to Toma, Wisconsin, and James calling in from Toma. Hi, James, you're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call. I wanted to point out God used Babylon and Assyria and Egypt to judge Israel. And he can certainly use China to judge the United States. If you look at how drivers behave on the highways, how young ladies behave in the schools and in private, and what they do when they conceive a child. If you look at what people do, you know, how many taverns are there in a small town, you know, compared to how many churches. Obviously, God has to execute some sort of judgment because our nation has lost its mooring, lost its foundation. We were founded on a covenant with him. And there's just one more thing. We shouldn't be calling it vaccinated. Nobody has been vaccinated. Those are not vaccines. They're experimental drug and gene therapy.
And thank you, James.
They're trying to make them compulsory, which is a violation of Nuremberg Code.
James, thank you for your thoughts here today. Let's head down from Wisconsin to Venice, Florida. Colleen is calling. Colleen, your thoughts here today on Crosstalk. Hello, Colleen.
Hello.
You're
Hi. I just wanted to say thank you so much for this programming. I've been listening to Crosstalk for years, and I feel like I'm better informed with conservative issues on from this program than just about anywhere. So I also wanted to encourage people to be sure to keep them lifted up in prayer, you, Jim, and all of the staff and finances and everything involved in this ministry, because you have to be a target and support Crosstalk financially, because we need you on the air. So thank you so much for what you do.
God bless you, Colleen. Thank you. And we sure appreciate your prayers. What a blessing it is to hear that from you. Superior, Wisconsin, our final call for the afternoon. David in Superior, you are on the air.
Thank you so much, Jim. We're praying for you and the office people, Sandra and Brandon, and all concerned, and support you fully. It's important that we support those who love the Lord and step out and with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But I just wanted to share with the listeners that the weapon of our warfare is against those who have wicked machinations and want to do things. You know, we know the verse about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against the authorities and cosmic and, you know, principalities and powers. But these weapons, prayer and union in prayer, it says repeatedly through Scripture, pray together with others, pray for yourself, pray for God, pray to God. He is our Lord. But it says that these things that are exalting itself against the knowledge of God are the people like the Faucis of the world, not to mention names, but it's the people who... He just got a humanitarian report.
David, we're going to have to leave it right there because we're out of time on the program, but amen, we need to be in prayer. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.